All right, so did you have an interesting night? Interesting dreams? Well, we want you to know, you, all of you, took the download very well. We saw it working. It's really good. We've been having a really good time with you, you know. Because you were very responsive even before the workshop began. And even those of you who did not get pictures in or did not, some of you still got downloads, but some of you didn't get downloads. Nevertheless, there is still an anticipation. There's still an energy that built for you. There's still a connection. Now, we're going to do another download this coming Tuesday. And that's going to help anchor in what you've been experiencing because you're in flux and change. We imagine your dreams might have reflected some of that. Some changing, some clearing, some lifting. All right. You all look younger today. Do you feel how the energy has lightened in here? You really let go of some good stuff. Now, don't take it back now, okay? You're going to be tempted, you know. But now we've got a new program in your subconscious. If you remind yourself of it two or three times that you've got new program for aging in the consensus reality, in the mainstream consciousness, in the collective, that you can refer to, it will help reinforce it for you. You're going to be doing a lot of surveys for the consensus this weekend, not just for yourself. You know, this, the whole world needs some youthing. There's a lot of discouragement and pain and suffering and aging. Even your culture is aging. And the emotions that we looked at, the reframing, the reorientations, the emotions associated with the symptoms of aging. We didn't quite finish them. We'll finish them today. Because we wanted to mention the reduction of your senses. You know, your hearing gets bad and your vision gets poor and, you know, some people even lose their sense of taste and the nervous system, you know, particularly with diabetes, you know, your touch begins to be distorted. So your senses, those ways that you connect with the world and take in your input, the way you receive on the physical, all that can get distorted in the old aging programs. Your vision goes, yes, there's reading glasses at 40. Yes, okay. What is old age sight? It's called presbyopia for old age sight. Presbyopia, assuming that there's not much future left for you. And so there's a fear that you don't have much future. But you have to hope, you have to want to expect that there's something in your future rather than the grimness of aging programs and the decline of your prowess and your strengths. So old age sight is essentially a reduction of your near vision. It is a sense of loss of connection with the present. those of you who are farsighted, it's like you don't want to be here right now. You prefer some other time space. That's more fun. Presbyopia, the other time space can be way in the past, can be way in the future. There's that timing, as we mentioned, that it's like there's a deadline of some sort for your fulfillment of your life, for your highest peak performance review, that insinuates that, well, maybe it's not too late. Maybe I can still do something that I really, something really grand, something really wonderful, something I really want to. And those of you that we talked about with the lowered thyroid and so on, maybe there's one day I'll get to do that project, that wonderful creative thing, and I'll be able to travel the world, I'll be able to go to that, do that adventure that I've wanted to do so for so long. All of that projected into the future, maybe, maybe, hope, hope, hope. But right now, it sucks. Right now, I'm looking at, I'm aging and life is boring and it's tedious and I still have to work more and I haven't retired yet and I, or maybe I just haven't, maybe I just, you know, just have to keep plugging, keep pushing. Well, you know, that takes some of the joy out of the present. So why would you want to see it, you know? So you look way over there, or way back there, oh, when it was nice, nostalgia, farsightedness, far away. You know, all that out there is clearer than what's right here. If you're confused, you can actually lose close vision temporarily because you can't really see what's right in front of you. You're not receiving your messages, your signals. You're not getting your information. It's way out there. Later on, you may get cataracts. Cataracts create that sort of mistiness that you see in pictures of aging movie stars, right? The older woman who wants to look young and romantic. And you, it's all misty. So you don't see any wrinkles, right? It's like, you can just imagine how beautiful she must have been. That's cataracts. It'll put that mist on there. So you don't see your aging. So you can look in the mirror and still imagine the person you were at 22 or whatever, just to pretend you're back there. So if you get any of these kind of symptoms, recognize that. Let it go. Make new choices. Losing your hearing. A lot of times this is an anger-related one. You're just tired of hearing things that are stressful and aggravate you. So let's just tune it out. There's this amazing ability that the channel noticed with her first husband. And she noticed it with other women and their men. This ability that men have to just tune a woman's voice out. Just amazing. Just to be able to tune it out. Don't even hear it. And so she would talk to him and no response, nothing. But he'd put on, you know, a pot for tea. And before it began to whistle, in the pre-whistle stage, he would hear it, get up and go to the kitchen. And the temperature would be just right because it wouldn't be boiling yet. She was puzzled about this. How do you do that? Well, when you close off hearing, when you close off anything, when you isolate something and you can in some way or another tune it out, It means that under certain circumstances you don't want to be present. It's the audio version of farsightedness, of old age sight. You don't want to be here now. You don't want to be with that person. It's too stressful. You have issues. One woman had a hearing problem, and we traced it back to her father being angry at her and shaming her. So it doesn't have to be in the present either. It can be in the past. But it can be projected into the present, and there can be fear of having to hear unpleasant things. I don't want to hear anything unpleasant. Well, eventually you're not going to hear anything. Because like emotions, if you try not to feel any bad emotions, you're going to, in a way, constrict your emotions so much you don't feel any good ones either. You're going to go into blahville, you know, mediocrity. But that's the program of the consensus. Welcome to being an ordinary person. You're one of the masses. Oh, doesn't that thrill you? Isn't that just where you want to be? Right? Well, if you were actually to feel that you deserved that, to be like everyone else, and in your culture, being like everyone else means that the little bit of value that people have is spread out along many, many people, so everybody individually values less. Means that you're not very important. You're not very interesting. You're not worth it. Don't let yourself get caught up into that. Don't you let yourself slide into that in the moments that you don't want to hear something, don't want to see something, don't want to know something. Always be willing to be present. Except when you want deliberately and consciously to veg, to space. Look, you can choose that. But don't choose it as an escape of someone who's in pain, who wants to avoid reality. You do it for the fun of it. Yeah, sometimes it's fun just to go and sit and watch TV and watch a stupid movie and just hang, have some potato chips. Choose it consciously. And then it doesn't have the same impact on your body. You see, you're going to come to a place to where you're going to make peace with the physical plane. So if you want to have a wonderful love for life and a zest for life and to be here and to do great work and celebrate and have a wonderful time, you and your body have got to make some peace. Now, we did a whole workshop on that topic. And if you feel that you and your body don't get along that well, it's not that supportive of you, and that you and it are in some kind of tug of war, separated mind versus body, that's part of the consensus separation paradigm, the duality, mind versus body, body being low, mind being high. Oh, the nobility of mind. Rationalism, the rational, the logical, the philosophic, and the body, oh gosh, the senses, the polluted modalities, the judgments, sin. Those of you who were able to escape judgment on sexuality are lucky ones. Because it's inherent all through your culture. But the body is your partner. Your body loves you. It has its own consciousness, which it has surrendered to you. The light being that you are. You've taken on a form that is an expression of an aspect of you. And we say an aspect. You have many aspects in this lifetime. But every lifetime you have a different body to express a different aspect of the whole of you, which includes all your lifetimes. The wholeness of your soul. The wholeness of your, what you might say, higher self. The complete you. You want to explore different facets of you, different aspects. And the body is the consciousness of that aspect working with you. To love your body. It'll work well for you if you love it. But if you push it and you drive it, ignore it, diminish it, feed it bad crap, imprison it, it's not going to work well for you. It's going to rebel eventually. It's going to resist. It's going to complain. And if you don't hear it, then it'll resist. And then it'll create pain and struggle and physical issues. So sometimes a lot of aging is really that the body is really tired of being abused. Sometimes you have a very abusive relationship with your body. And as you love yourself more and appreciate who you are, you need to also include your body in that. Your body wants to do the great work with you. It's willing to give you all the credit. But it's not really willing to be your slave. It's your co-worker, your partner. Don't treat it like a slave. If you treat it like a slave, it'll give you chronic fatigue syndrome. And say, so there. Now, you're going to have to stick with me for a while. Okay? I'm going to pull you down, and you can't run out there and do everything for everybody and run around like a manic wild creature doing this work and that work and this work and that work. I'm going to make you stop until you love me. Chronic fatigue, lots of rage, lots of deference of self, lots of loss of self, lots of loss of self-value, and abuse of the body. Generally, chronic fatigue comes after a viral infection, very often. And then a few months later, or you never recover very well from the viral infection. And you've got fatigue. What is a virus? Virus is you. The virus becomes part of you. While never, ever submitting to you or surrendering to you. Viruses, they're actually good viruses. They're helpful. But the ones that really get you are the bad ones. Are the ones that really bring you down, that wear you down. A virus comes only if you're not loving your life. If you're in conflict and your conflict is at a stalemate, you may be ignoring it, running around and ignoring it. then you're not happy. And the virus says, okay, now I can do my work. The virus replicates itself in your cells. Can go right into the cells. It takes a while for your immune system to recognize what's going on and get mobilized and protect you. But this is part of aging as well. Now, we understand viruses happen to children too and so on. But by the time you're over 40 or so, a virus can be part of your aging process. It can be part of the reduction of your immune system, part of your reduction of your love of life, part of a stagnancy that needs to be cleaned out. And the virus will do that. It will force you to get centered in yourself. Viruses are one of the few things that really force people to stop working for a few days. All the workaholics, generally they like to keep working regardless of how they feel. They just keep, you know, medicating themselves, you know, with whatever. Whether they're legal or illegal or prescription or non-prescription, they will keep medicating themselves. Keep numbing the body out, numbing the body out. But a virus will force you to stop work for a few days and you'll lie in bed and feel absolutely miserable. And the virus is like your negative ego. Ha, 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 gotcha. But it's a confrontation with self, an opportunity to clear a stagnant conflict, to break the stalemate, to come aware and clear and to think, integrate, and therefore be re-mobilized. Use it wisely if you get one. But it's always better to resolve those conflicts so you don't have to get one. We're going to look more at the body today. We want to point out that longevity is actually available in your body. Your body has cells that are born of cells that have never died. There's an immortal line of cells. This is part of your star seed. The cells we're talking about are called essentially the germ cells. You know, they're the egg and the sperm. They hold all the codes, the keys. They hold the complete message for one facet of you. They blend from the parents. And when you are created in the womb by the fusion of these two, within the egg are what are called transference factors. And the transference factors attach these little tails to your genes, your genetics. These determine your longevity. They're called telomeres, little tails. Now, they also, these germ cells, produce what are known as stem cells, and you've heard a lot about stem cells. Stem cells are undifferentiated. They are cells that can create from themselves. Now look at the intelligence here. They can create from themselves cells to do any particular function and to be part of any aspect of the body. They will create cells that are specific, let's say, to the upper arm. Specific to the liver, specific to the right hemisphere of the brain. They specifically know their place. These cells that the stem cells create, and they are called somatic cells. They form your body. And in these cells are the DNA of every cell, and they've got these telomeres. And every time the cell divides, the telomeres shorten just a teeny bit. The longer the telomere, the more cell divisions you get. Now, what's interesting is that there is also an enzyme that is used to create and extend telomeres. We would call it the longevity enzyme. And those of you who know, medicine and health and so forth, it's going to be really obvious. It's telomerase, right? Now, if you are able to activate your telomerase, theoretically, it could keep building the telomeres. The cells could keep dividing indefinitely. They wouldn't have to die. Because when the telomeres get too short, cell can't do it anymore. It starts to misreplicate, and you don't get to, it's not. It ages. The cell ages and dies. So, what is in this telomerase? What is an enzyme? An enzyme is something that creates or activates a transformation. It actually can be a transcendence, because it can be not just a different form, but it can be it can move to a different function. It completes certain biological processes. There are certain processes in your body, in your metabolism, that works to process all the chemicals in your body, to produce the energy, the ATP molecules that are your energy, to be able to utilize your sugars, to store fats, to do, all the jobs in your body. Your body's very highly functioning. You don't have a high unemployment rate in your body. You could take a good message for the economy. Look at your body. How absolutely, total employment. Everybody does their job. Unless there's something missing in the process, in the chain of chemicals. But the enzymes are the ones that make that chain happen. They move stuff from here to there. They transform it. They change it. They activate certain processes and make sure this happens. And they make sure that enough of this is produced. They supervise what they do, too. If you want to produce a particular chemical to use for a particular thing, like, let's say, the pancreas producing insulin. So you produce enough insulin that at some point the enzyme will go back and earlier in the process and say, okay, hey, we've got enough stored back here. You can stop now. And everybody says, oh, okay. And it's break time. Until the enzyme comes along and said, okay, to work. Here we go. What motivates that? You see, there's a motivation there to activate a process, to generate a flow, and make sure that it stays in balance. This is what you do. In a way, you are on top of your enzymes, You're the master of enzymes. Thank God, though, you don't have to oversee each individual one. They know their job. But it's your motivation that keeps them going. you have four systems of your body that are essentially involved in the longevity process, as far as aging and all that is concerned. They are involved very, very highly in maintaining over time a balance and a flow. Now, you have many systems in your body, but these four are the foundations for longevity. And it's interesting that these four systems also correspond to the four elements, the four forces of nature, the four directions. You're a virtual medicine wheel, you know? A walking medicine wheel. Yeah, you are. You're in complete balance. That's one of the downloads that we did, was putting you in complete balance in the four directions, so that you would have a focus and unity. It's part of your work. Air, nervous system. Water, lymphatic system. Fire, endocrine, glandular, hormonal system. Earth, immune system. If you have these four systems in balance between each other, you are going to have spectacular health. Now, as we say, there are other systems. You know, you've got your circulatory system. And you've got other functions that go on in your body, for sure. Okay. The nervous system is pretty much organized by the two brains. There are two brains. You have the central nervous system, which is in the head, and you have the enteric nervous system, which is in the gut. Have you ever had a gut knowing? Ah, I know it. It comes from the gut. That's the enteric nervous system speaking to you. When you have the inspirational aha, your central nervous system. All the information you receive from your senses come into the nervous system. The input comes into the nervous system. It is electrically and energetically, psychically moved into the brain so that you can respond. You've got to become aware of things. So it goes to the brain, it goes to the gut. It's in the brain, however, that the signals are sent to the gut for response and to the hypothalamus. It's a gland in the brain. Hypothalamus balances out the nervous system and the endocrine system. And so information comes into the nervous system, and it comes to the hypothalamus, and the hypothalamus says, okay, so much is coming into the nervous system. Okay, endocrine system, well, you take it from here. How do you interpret it? Is it safe? Friend or foe? Is there a danger? Is there a motivation here? Is it exciting? What is it? What's coming in? What do you want to do about what's coming in? And goes into the endocrine system, the hormonal system. And so that's how, very quickly, on the pituitary and the hypothalamus working together, send signals, say, to the adrenal glands to put in adrenaline to activate you in response. Particularly if it's danger, you know how your heartbeat will go pum, 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 all of a sudden. Because your endocrine and your nervous system are working together. They're the first ones that get hit with stress. If there's a stress, they're the ones that are your primary first responders. First responders to stress. If you don't deal with your stress correctly, though, if you can't handle the emotions involved or the issues involved, then it can get into your lymphatic system and you get all kind of jammed up and plugged up. You add weight. Yeah, stress can put on weight, like really fast. Then you can also, perhaps, over time, your immune system. The stress will wear your immune system down, and eventually your immune system will go down later. But when your immune system gets low and you have congestion in your lymphatics, it's chronic, it's kind of, you know, ongoing. It means you haven't processed and completed. You have to work with the systems together because they are fully functioning and fully balanced and in a flow when you keep them really going. Now, in the brain, as in the central nervous system and the enteric nervous system, you've got chemicals known as neurotransmitters. These are messengers. These speak to your body. These give contextual reference to what you do, to your functioning. Let us explain that. For example, dopamine. Dopamine is a neurotransmitter that is found very highly with people who are very highly focused, very highly motivated. It's in sexual arousal. It's very dynamic. Very high drive, kind of motivational, high motivational energy. So dopamine. Because it has sexual arousal, passion arousal, it's really a motivator. If you don't have enough dopamine, you just can't get off your butt. It's like, oh. You know, those of you who just don't have any motivation, you just don't have enough dopamine. You have too much of something else. You're out of balance. And what generally balances with that is one called serotonin. See, now dopamine is like fire. It's like the endocrine system. It's like a fire. It's a passion. Serotonin, on the other hand, is like earth. It's very calm and relaxed and laid back and easygoing and kind of happy. You gotta have a balance between the two. Because if you have too much serotonin, oh, you're so happy and it's like, okay, who cares? I'm just gonna lay back and do what I damn well please. you can't take responsibility well if you have too much serotonin. Serotonin makes you just kind of content to lie around. You know, some people, you think they're lazy, they just have lots of serotonin. Serotonin also helps you feel good. Yeah. I'm going to take a nice, long, hot bath. Now, the people who are over-riddled with dopamine, workaholics, you know, go-getters, also people who can get kind of frenzied and anxious and worried and try to cover all their bases at once. Who can get their inner slave driver up. Dopamine. So these are the people sometimes that have to get those drugs that are serotonin uptake inhibitors. You see, your body puts out serotonin all the time. But if you have But you may be more really gung-ho and you're really trying to work and get a lot of stuff done, but you may be miserable and unhappy and depressed and angry and all sorts of things that are unprocessed, and but it's all moving around and you're all nervous and so forth. Well, then you're going to get a prescription for an SSRI drug, which is like a Prozac or some of those. And what they do is they keep the body from, keep the enzymes from breaking down the serotonin. It's kind of recycled, you know, so they break it down. And then you don't have it there. So you don't have that desire to lie back and have it easy. And it tends to lift and elevate mood, but it also reduces motivation. So they have to be careful when they give people these things. If they give them too much, these people, oh, okay, I'm fine. You can yell at me all you want, boss, and I'm just not going to move. So you have to kind of figure out the balance. The channel often laughs. That's why they call a doctor's work a practice. Okay, let's play and figure out if this is the right amount. Okay, see how you react to that. Okay, well, I think we need a little bit more of that. Yeah. Everybody needs a little bit different, but you got to have a balance between your dopamine and your serotonin. Dopamine fire, serotonin earth. Then you also have GABA. GABA's a fun one, too. Helps you to think, helps you stay, be aware, attention. GABA's nice. And that needs to have a certain balance, too, with another one, the water element, acetylcholine, which has to do with fluids and movements, fluids in the brain and so forth. So, of course, anything that has to do with fluids, you know that emotion's got to be connected to it somehow, right? So the context of it, of the neurotransmitters, the context of it is the kind of the function of them and the orientation that they have for you and what messages they have. If you're a thinker and you just like to sit around and you like to think a lot, you just love to be up there in the thinking, but you're not really, you don't like those emotions. They're messy a bit, messy. You're really high on GABA, you know? You need more acetylcholine. Balance. Thinking and feeling. Right? And the motivation, the movement, dopamine, passion with relaxation and rest. You need the balances. Now, if you find that you're kind of consistently out of balance in these regards, deal with the emotional and energetic structures first. But if that still doesn't work, you can do some research, find a good nutritionist that knows these kinds of things, who can point you to certain dietary factors to encourage and support certain neurotransmitters to bring yourself into balance. And that's really what nutrition is about. Nutrition is an attempt to bring certain factors, contextual factors, into the body to balance out imbalances that are between the mental, emotional, and therefore to achieve a certain sense of flow and balance, to re-achieve it. And so nutrition can be very healing because it can bring you back into balance. But it has a downside. If you don't deal with the issues around it, the emotional stuff and the concepts and the beliefs and everything that are out of balance in the first place, then you'll have to stay on nutrition the rest of your life. It becomes a crutch for you. And also, if you're providing nutrition for your body in a form of that the body makes as a product itself, or is that like, for example, if you give your body hormones or you give your body certain enzymes and stuff that the body is supposed to really produce itself. Certain vitamins that it produces itself. The body will say, well, why do we have to do anything? They seem to be providing it. We can take a break. And that creates a dependence on nutrition. As good as nutrition is, as viable and as important as it is, we would say it's maybe one of the first steps that you can take, but you do have to look at the other factors, the spiritual, emotional, and mental factors too. Now, if you get these four major neurotransmitters, and there are other neurotransmitters around, but if you get these four kind of balanced with each other, your brain really functions well. It functions well for you. It creates a messenger service. It creates an awareness service that keeps your whole body informed of where you're at. So your whole body and you can work together in harmony when the nervous system works well. When the nervous system is out of whack in the brain, and the brain chemicals are out of whack, if the hypothalamus goes out of whack, the hypothalamus may get set. If there's a chronic emotional long-term issue or suppression of yourself, the hypothalamus can get set at a different set point, and it can allow too much nervous system balance to the endocrine. And you'll always be kind of like nervous and not have enough hormones and be skinny. Skinny and nervous. You know how you've noticed how skinny and nervous often go together. That's the set point there. High energy, nervous, skinny, right? Running around all the time, restless. Now, on the other hand, if you get the hormones are set high and the nervous system low, you often get a person who is very amiable and easygoing, a bit overweight, doesn't seem to be ruffled by anything, just, you know, the earth mother, you know, here, oh, come on over, I'll fix you some food. Well, sit down and just sit together and, you know. I think you can get a lot done. They get a lot done, but they don't have that nervous edge. They don't have that restlessness. They're more calm, steady. All right? And it can get set and out of balance. But if you have it in balance, you have a right amount, your weight is balanced to your energy. Now, when we come to weight again, we want to make mention that some people's systems are just work a little better when they're just a little weight on them. And some people's systems work really a lot better when they're a little on the real skinny side. It's your culture that has exquisite judgments up the wazoo about exactly how many pounds you should be. You know, you ask somebody, well, how's your weight? I could really lose 3 pounds. We've even heard that. 3 pounds? What are you worrying about? 3 pounds? Now you're nitpicking here. Well, but it's right there on the stomach. Now, if you go 20 pounds, if you're chronically 20 pounds over what is your, quote unquote, normal range for your height and your age. See how they put age in the calculations here. Then there gets another set point to where the body continues to crank up hormones in order to hold more fat. So if you come down beneath that 20 pound weight, then if you want to lose weight and you really choose to lose weight, and go down to a certain weight that you think you need to be at, you can hold it much more comfortably. There's a kind of a set point somewhere around 20 pounds or 25 pounds, somewhere in there. What is that? That's set in the hypothalamus. Now, the nervous skinny one has more fear in their energy. The one with the overweight tends to be sitting on frustrations, which is in the anger complex. The worry and frustration. So balance that. You might find that your weight will shift. Your energy levels may shift. And if you come into balance, then you stop even thinking about it. Wouldn't it be nice to not think about weight? Some of you who've been thinking about weight for years now. Every day, thinking about weight. Every day you look in the mirror. Oh, look at your weight. How many of you look in the mirror and you see your weight first? Okay, we're going to say something very strong here. Stop it! When you look in the mirror, the first step towards balance is not to focus on the imbalance. Okay? At least the symptom of the imbalance. You want to focus on what is the issue in the inner. But when you look in the mirror, look at your eyes. In your eyes. Don't look at your eyelids. Oh, they're too baggy today. No, stop it. When you look in the mirror, look in your eyes and see a divine light being there. And make a choice every day when you look in the mirror, look in your eyes, make a choice. Today I will not judge me. I will love me. I will honor and respect and appreciate the light of spirit and soul that I have, that I am. Okay, now you made the choice. Now, we give you permission to look at the rest of you. And look without judgment. Stop worrying about it. It's not like you're ignoring it. We know that if you have a lot of a weight issue, or you're too skinny, or whatever it is, we know you're not going to forget that. Okay? But just stop judging yourself. You know, there are beings on the other side who love you dearly, who are your support, your team. Do they care whether you have a pimple on your nose or not? No. They don't care if you're obese or so skinny you look like you're an Auschwitz victim. They don't care. They care that you feel good. They care that you are happy. They care that you're doing things that mean something to you. And they want you to be healthy. They absolutely do. They don't care about your appearance, is the point we're making. They care about your health. They care about your life. They care about who you are, but not of your appearance. Your culture has made way too much of appearance. It has made it too big of an issue. And has made many, many people's lives miserable. So if you have anything left, any remnants of that program, of judging your image, from the perspective of whom? A beauty judge? Beauty contest judge? Right? Then stop it! Look look at yourself from the point of view of a divine light being. And then you're in alignment with your friends on the other side. Some of them look pretty weird. Sometimes that's a reason you don't let yourself even see them. But come to peace with that. Your image is perfect for you. Because your body is showing you through way it looks, its symptoms, its appearance, it's giving you feedback. You know, it's like you don't kill the messenger, right? You don't beat up the messenger. The messenger's saying, I'm bringing you information. No, I don't want to hear that information. I'm going to judge you instead. You know, that's not good to your body. Take the information. Let the information that comes into you through your senses be filtered through love and not through judgment. And that comes with what you perceive from other people, what you perceive from plants, animals, TV, anything. What you perceive through your eyes, what you touch, what you smell, what you hear. Now, the body has to put up with a lot of abuse. And it's not even the abuse that you give it. Your environment is toxic. Right? And many of you are sensitive to it. We know that the channel is sensitive to smells and fragrances and petrochemicals. Everything that you smell has a message. That's what aromatherapy is about. Here, put some lavender on and you'll feel more relaxed and happy. Did you know that that doesn't necessarily mean relaxed and happy for everybody? And what if a person has a very strong, good sense of smell? A drop of lavender oil is overwhelming. It's like a sledgehammer. Here, feel happy. Kabang! What kind of response do you think that's going to evoke? You're going to get pissed, right? Anger will produce the allergy. Allergic reaction. This is a sense of powerlessness with it. Can you stop smelling something? No. It's like some people can tune things out, we mentioned. If you see something you don't like, you can close your eyelids. But can you stop smelling it? Mm-mm. Smelling is so close, it has a different access to your brain than the other senses. Because in smelling, you're actually absorbing molecules of whatever it is you're smelling. So if you're smelling petrochemical fragrances or petrochemical pesticides, basically the same thing. But if you're smelling petrochemicals, right, you're absorbing petrochemicals into the tissues of your nose. You are absorbing everything that's in your environment through your nose. You're smelling it all. You smell all the exhaust fumes from cars and trucks and stuff. You're consuming it. The molecules actually go in there and go into, you absorb into. That's how you determine smell. As a frequency, smell is closer to physical plane reality than sound and light. All right, so nervous system, input, filter your input through love for yourself. Be present, aware, let your brain get balanced so that you have a balance between motivation, relaxation, awareness, and rest. Between thinking and feeling. Your your nervous system in balance will allow you to receive more downloads. There are downloads going on all the time. You can tune into them anytime you want. But for most people, it's a bit overwhelming, and it's good to have someone give you downloads that are, in a sense, focused for you. That's kind of what we were doing, is giving you downloads focused, and hopefully we didn't overwhelm or overload anybody. But energies are changing on the planet. There's a transformation going on in your brain, in the hemispheres of your brain. There's transformations. There's changes going on. The downloads are changing first the nervous system. That's the place of change. That's the initial connection with everything, nervous system. If you feel disconnected, separated, dissociated, your nervous system's not online right. It's out of balance. Your brain chemistry's not working well. Longevity is going to be, for you in particular, as light workers, is going to be determined a lot by how you can receive your input and process it. Because you're the ones who are going to be making the changes first. That's why you chose to come when you did. That's why you're the age you are. That's why you're looking into longevity. Because you came first. You're the elders. You want to stay a while and watch the whole process. But you're going to go through some major changes within you. It's not just children, these beautiful rainbow children or whatever. It's you see, the thing is that they want to see the children as special. Well, the thing is, what makes these children special is that they're not being as severely repressed as you were. They're being recognized. Look, this child has a gift, a psychic gift, an awareness, a high level of creativity. Let's encourage it. How many of you had that situation? Oh, you're psychic. Oh, tell us about the other realms. What do you see? Some of you got, you see other realms, you're seeing the devil, you're going to hell. Anything in between, right? It's the atmosphere of support for them. You have it all too. You could be just as gifted, just as open, just as psychic. And indeed, that's, in a sense, that's where you're wanting to go. You're wanting to reopen so that you can shift and change with these wonderful, wonderful evolutionary changes. So that you can bring this information through and gift it. To teach it, to share it, to heal. As the elders, you serve the function of nervous system for the world. So that's why we were starting with the nervous system. That's very important. We're spending more time on the nervous system than any other system because this is a system of evolutionary change. This is a system of the input. This is a system of the shift. And if you can stay in balance in your nervous system, you can really open up your strengths, your powers, your gifts, your talents. All right, that's air. Okay. We're going to go to fire, endocrine system. Now, we talked a bit about menopause yesterday. But as you age, quote unquote, aging program equals reduction of hormones. For longevity, you want stability of hormones. Now, for women, menopause is a time when the monthly cycle ends. The monthly cycle is a roller coaster of hormones. You got your estrogens go surging up, peak. And then when they peak, it kicks in the progesterone, and the progesterone comes in and the estrogen plummets, and then the progesterone comes down. And then you quiet. And then a surge of estrogen again, month after month after month. You know, and the chauvinistic approach, of course, is, you know, rational, calm. Let's be calm and rational. All right? You know, the channel's first husband's, his major argument, the way to kind of shut down any emotion is like, let's be calm and reasonable now. Reasonable means shut up. But women are going to go emotionally because motivations shift and change with the hormones. Your levels of fire, passion and whatever, all moves and changes and whatever. It was meant to be such. It's a creative process. Even if it's only used, you know, for creation of a baby once or twice or three times or for a few women more. Or not at all. It's still used in the creative process. But the chauvinist approach is everything's got to be steady, even. And so all the hormones of women freak guys out. That's the way it plays out. It's quite intriguing that you have had a presidential contenders have females, actually, there. And for the first time, nobody's saying, can they handle it? What about, you know, what if they have PMS or what if they have hot flashes or whatever? That would make them too unstable to run the government or to be... Well, we're not going to discuss their relative merits or not as far as the capability. But it definitely has nothing to do with hormones. It's all perception and diminishment of the feminine. And it's a diminishment of creativity. You know, it's really great for a guy, for example, to be highly creative and everything and have wonderful creative gifts and want to be an artist or a musician or whatever. But does that meet with approval with the parents? How are you going to make money, son? You know? Go on, go be a doctor. Be a lawyer, do something where you have a nice income, all right? And so a lot of people, and women included, don't follow their creativity. They go for something more placid, more stable. Not to say that medicine and law and so forth cannot be exciting for the right people, but some people do it as a compromise. It's really interesting how musicians seem to gravitate towards medicine. As so many musicians became doctors, they actually have a symphony orchestra in Philadelphia made up of doctors. Is that many of them? You would never have thought, would you? Yeah. But which came first? Did they want to be musicians first or doctors first? There's something about harmony that intrigues medicine. So it has to do with medicine. Music is very healing. Tones, frequencies can be very, very powerful, very healing. And medicine is going to open up so much to that over the next 10, 20 years. However, the point is that so many people had to give up the roller coasters because the creative persona is unstable in their dynamic of motivation. Creative people are motivated, motivated, motivated. And then they want to take a break. And then they're motivated, motivated, motivated. Then they want to think about it. Do a little thing over here. Okay, take a break. Now, does that work in the work world? No. Does that work for a desk job? No. Does that work for a person who has patients or clients all day? No. Look at all the adjustments you've had to make to not be creative. Passion gets channeled, therefore, into sex. You wouldn't have nearly as much sex going on, and you wouldn't not be as sex, obsessed as a culture if you didn't have this creativity repression happening. Because that passion, that generative hormonal energy has to go somewhere. Now, you know, the way we've been talking about it, it sounds like, oh, the creative process is more primal than sex. No, sex is definitely more primal. And so, therefore, it is definitely accepted in your macho culture. And, you know, a lot of men don't fit the bill, but men that are very highly sexed are successful men. The higher they go in power and success, it's assumed that the hornier they are, right? Whether this is just perception or fantasy, sometimes it's both, and sometimes it's really there. Because sometimes the guy with the most hormones, has the most motivation, can do the greatest amount of creating a company and imagining and dreaming it and moving it and putting the energy through it and really getting that dopamine going. And dopamine is sexual arousal, and it's also workaholic. So they're on the same channels. They can get into that same kind of channel between the hormones and the nervous system. The brain. So if you are a frustrated creative, you're probably going to want sex. Because that gives you that up and that down. You're able to go in one of those nice loops or one of those nice waves. Orgasm. What a fantastic wave. Those of you who understand the ecstasy of creation, create in ecstasy. You create a baby. That's that ecstasy. God got us all that it is, created your universe. Ecstasy. If you have ecstasy, if you have passion, if you are motivated, if you absolutely have zest for what you are doing and what you want to do, you'll keep your hormones up. It's the compromises, long-term compromises that wear the hormones down because they keep bouncing up. So let's, but they can't hit the wall. Let's do, okay. You keep saying, wait, down, boy. And after a while, they'll stay down for you. Oh, now you're old. Now you've got to get hormone replacement. Guys got to take testosterone. Gals got to take their progesterone and some estrogen. It's interesting. Testosterone is a hormone of action. If men don't have enough of it, they find it very hard to motivate themselves. testosterone is related to sex drive. Testosterone and the nervous system in the brain activating more dopamine. See, the dopamine is the fire of the brain, not the neurotransmitters, the fire of the endocrine. That's where you can tell. See, if you're creative and you're just sex-ridden all the time, then you know that you've got to work with that dopamine-serotonin balance, and you've got to, you know, have some kind of outlet of expression. And, of course, God got us all that is, had ecstasy in love as they created together, all of them, all together, created all that is, God and Goddess. So man and woman, or woman and woman and man, coming together to create ecstasy in love. To create something greater. To create an all that is of your own. A relationship. Makes life really worth a lot, isn't it? When you have a good relationship. For those of you who are in longing for a relationship, you're going to have to do more creativity. Sorry about that. You're going to have to channel your energies into something creative. All right, the hormones. There's three estrogens and a progesterone. And the men have testosterone, but they also have female hormones, as well as women also have testosterone. You'll find a man's particular hormone balance. If he's high on testosterone, then he has what you would call the more typical, you know, positive male balance. But very often as men age and their drive shifts and changes, because by nature, as you get older and mature, you do want different things. You do want more out of life. You're looking for more depth than when you were 20. You're looking at bodies when you're at 20. And at 50, you're looking at more depth. If you're still looking at bodies, oops. Well, you need to make a new choice for longevity. You're not. That's the part of trying not to grow old by aging reversal being a technique of going back to adolescence, but. And that doesn't work well with your body. Nevertheless, there's more depth, more grandeur, more spiritual functioning later in your life. It's an emergence. It's a natural evolution of need to go to higher quality needs, to go to greater love and a greater spiritual connection. So a relationship can activate that. And for a man, high testosterone, in a sense, and low progesterone, for a man would mean that maybe he needs to look more at love and spiritual matters. Some men go in, they get their progesterone is too high, and that's a female hormone. It's too high in the man, the testosterone's down, and the doctors get worried. We would suggest it's not really of that great a concern, because it means that the man is experiencing something really deep and emotional. And it may be a negative for him. He maybe needs to process and work with it. Or it may be a beautiful relationship dynamic is going on, or some beautiful, fulfilling project that he's into. But there does need to be some balance. If a man has too much progesterone and so on, then it will activate too much serotonin. And he'll lose motivation. For a woman, she's got these three estrogens and the progesterone and the testosterone in a small degree. If a woman has high testosterone, then it indicates a certain drive. A woman with a drive. A kind of a serious drive, a serious intent. And it's often seen in the profiles of athletics women who are doing things that are very highly physical. And the woman needs to be very physical if she has a high testosterone level. You just can't bring it down. You have to balance the others, and then it will come to a place of balance. The progesterone is a time of evaluation, a time of building, a time of planning, a time of understanding, learning. That's in the monthly cycle. And on a whole emotional level, on the long-term level, in menopause, when you don't have the cycles, the progesterone needs to be there. You need to get that progesterone. You need to do learning, growing, understanding. You don't want to get Alzheimer's or anything like that. Nobody does, of course. But you got to stay interested. Keep the energies up, the motivations up. To learn, to grow, to evaluate. The estrogens. That's a very strong estrogen. You know, the tough bitch energy. The strong, powerful earth mother that stands up for herself and stands up for her children and fights for her children and carries the flag. There is that kind of mother. There is that kind of woman that just, hear me, I am woman. Hear me roar. Okay. Estradiol. That's the hormone. Estrogen. That's, and women with high estradiol are very strong, very dynamic women. Around pregnancy, lactation, there's an estriol. Estriol is a very soft one. And estriol is nurturing. Soft. Kind of ripe and nurturing and gentle. And then there's estrone, which is a little bit more the balance of those three is kind of keeps a certain awareness edge, almost a slight bit of intellectual, just kind of balance that. If doctors really knew, they could balance estrogens precisely to the woman's personality complex. When they give them bioidentical hormone replacement. The hormones that are generally in the prescription drugs, you know, like Premarin and things like that, are taken from other animals and manipulated, and the body sees them kind of as estrogens and kind of as foreign entities. And our concern is, over time, women who are on that type of estrogen replacement will find whatever their issues are growing worse, and also feel a certain dissociation from themselves, which makes it harder for them to process it. It also concerns us, too, that it can also lead to autoimmune problems, where the immune system turns on itself. So It's beginning to be recognized that it's not safe. So we're glad about that. But we hope that they will allow people to have bioidenticals until at such time women can stand in their own passion and resolve their conflicts and their repression of their creative power and their sexuality. And for men, men to balance, to take the pressure off of them, to take the performance pressure off of them and let them find their real true balance. All that performance anxiety, pressure, to remove it, like we were talking about yesterday. That can balance the hormones. And it resolves a whole bunch of other conflicts in the system. Right? Now, every hormone in your body, at one time or another, has to communicate, interact, or go through some kind of process with the liver. The liver is really enormous. It's a really huge bioprocessor. The liver is the one who deals with fats, deals with hormones, produces hormones, produces this, produces that, make sure that it all stays in some kind of balance. If you're under too much stress, you'll generally end up getting thyroid and adrenal exhaustion. But if you're under too much toxic overload, chemical toxic overload, your liver will slow down and it will mess up your endocrine system too. From the back end, your endocrine system will get out of balance, out of whack. Now, we have a list. A list of stuff. Let's see here. Stuff that your body gets hit with. Just be aware of that. And just, we're going to read off the list. Just think about this. These are the stresses of your body, your physical body. Constipation. Right? Constipation leads to auto-intoxication, that toxins, instead of being flushed out, get reabsorbed. Food allergies, such as to gluten, sugar, milk, soy, etc. Toxic building syndrome. It's a gassing off of formaldehyde and glues, radon, and things like that. Environmental poisons, such as dioxin, phthalates, and plastics. Plastic seepage. Plastics, even plastics that you drink your water in, it's plastic seeps into everything. And that includes pesticides, petrochemical fertilizers. They get into your water supply. Prescription drugs have been found in the water supply of major cities. Poor diet, lack of exercise, poor quality or not enough sleep or rest. Harsh environmental temperature changes or harsh environmental conditions. High cold, high dry, heavy wind. Also, stress, pressure, and demands of performance. And this performance can be in work or love. Pain, chronic pain, exhaustion, noise, air pollution, not enough sunlight. Right? Electromagnetic fields, microwaves, cell phones, cell towers. Cleaning chemicals. Disorganized electrical fields. If you have a house with lots of electricity, most houses do. If you have a lot of rheostats, or things like that, or be aware if you in your kitchen where you have your outlets, and don't put your food right outside the outlets, next to the outlets. There's emissions that go there, and some of them are very chaotic and can put kind of chaotic vibrations in your food, in your water, whatever's there. So don't put your nutritional products there. Try to keep them about 2 feet or more away from an electrical outlet if you can. Unless you have Stetzer filters. They're called Gram Stetzers. You can put them in there, and they will harmonize all the electricity in your, so it doesn't spike and drop and spike and up and down, because electrical generally does tend to do that. That's the chaos of it. Underground water flows. Most people don't even think about that. But if you have water going under your building at an angle, it can just create so much stress in the building. Emotional, psychic stress you'll feel stressed. You won't understand what's going on. It'll feel like you're being drained and depleted. So if there's something mysterious and you can't put a finger on it, check underground and see. A good dowser can tell you. Okay. Bacteria, viruses, radiation, chemotherapy, drugs, deficiencies in the diet, toxicities in the diet, toxic metals such as aluminum, cadmium, mercury, intestinal parasites, candida, even hostile people, right? See, you're not going to be able to avoid these, many of these. You can't avoid them. So how can you enable yourself not to be affected by them? Because in your culture, stresses like this age your body. You want to live long? You've got to have a way for your body to be able to handle living in a toxic environment. There is a way. We're going to go to the immune system. Earth. The immune system is widely known as that which protects you. Protects you from things. It fights for you. It stands up for you. It protects you. You know, as they say, theoretically, you can have cancer cells in your body and your immune system will step up to them and say, out. You know, get rid of them. Destroy them. Break them up. Now, science has a fondness of looking at the immune system from a military standpoint. Okay, the macrophages, and there's go the white blood cells, and the T cells, and there they go, and they're warriors, you know, fighting. But you see, the real protection is love. It's not war. You know, you remember the old slogan, make love, not war? Well, that's your protection. When you love yourself and you and your body are on the wavelength together and in partnership together and love each other. What a partnership. When you see through the filter of love, there's no war really needed. Because if you're loving and you're flowing and in balance, we see love brings that. If you want the simple answer, right? The simple solution to longevity is just love. Of course, it's really complex in there. You know, if you love, then all these other factors will be there. But you can say love. Not in the adolescent term, not in the cloying term sense of it, not in the religious sense of it even, but in a sense of really loving who you are. And that's when you look into the mirror and you look in your eyes and you love that light you see. Your immune system goes, ta-da, I'm on. The immune system is happy when you love. When you love, you stand up for yourself. You are in your power. You own who you are. I am a powerful reality creator, yes. And this is my playground. This reality, this illusion, I'm going to go out today and play in the illusion again. Yahoo! If you have a zest for life, if you love living, you're not going to get terminal diseases and aging diseases and all the toxic petrochemicals and things like that floating around and all the toxic emotions floating around. Some of you are very adept. You have radar up and catch toxic emotions flowing around. Oh, is there someone judging today? Could they be judging me? If you have an, if you're obsessed with your image, you could be really picking up some yucky stuff in your radar. Society has horrible stuff about image going all the time on this etheric level. But if you are loving and that's your filter, you are so strong that anything that comes to you, you can love. There's no anger, so there's no reaction, allergy. There's no powerlessness, so you're not damaged by it. So when you're in your love and your power, it doesn't even deflect off of you. You can absorb all sorts of stuff in you. And you would be amazed. And here's the connection. We started with the liver before we went to the immune system. The liver and the immune system are a transference point between the endocrine and the immune. The liver tells the immune system, I'm in toxic overload, hormones out of balance. There's a sadness that comes with it when your liver is toxic. There's a rage, a powerlessness, and a tremendous sadness. Fatigue comes with it. It aggravates and generates more food allergies than you can imagine. It'll make you allergic to everything. It was like an old friend of the channels before she died. She said, you know, you gradually get allergic to more and more things. And finally, you're allergic to everything, and then you die. She said this about 4 months before she died. Because she was getting allergic to everything. And in a way, yes. Because if your liver gets too toxic and starts to back up, it will send a message and your immune system will say, toxic overload, too powerless, I'm in rage, I cannot handle it, shut down. You see how the endocrine system works with the nervous system, and the endocrine system this way works with the hormone, with the immune system, and the immune system and the nervous system work together, because whatever input you get in, if you see it as a threat, your immune system is going to kick in out of fear. But then your immune system is stressed and depleted. But if your immune system is kicked in by love, it's replenished. And if your immune system is pumped up with love, you can activate that telomerase. Love is so, so important. Loving your life. That's a major key for the immune system. Now, for you to maintain a good immune system, you have to have adequate sleep and rest. And you have to have a comfortable physical arrangement, because it's a physical one. Your physical body needs to be comfortable in the daily cycle. It needs to have its diurnal cycle. Right? The body needs to be happy in the way that you run your daily cycle. You want to sleep pretty much at the same time every day. You want to be active same time pretty much every day. Your body wants to be in that cycle. Now the body's preference. Now we know there's all these things. I'm not a morning person and I'm a night owl. I'm a lark. I get up early, early, early. I love it. Love those hours right there at dawn. I just love it. So what's really natural for the body? We'd say the night owls generally tend to be people who have high levels of creativity that are suppressed during the day. So at some point, the body says, look, I got to do something. I got to think, I got to feel, I got to create, I got to do something, have sex, something, I got to do something, I got to do something. I got to think the great thoughts, I've got to write something down, I got to something. And so they kick in later in the day. But earlier in the day, what are you doing generally? Your obligations, yes? What do you get up in the morning to do your obligations? Some of you get coffee in the morning. Okay, I'm alert now, I can do my obligations. If you didn't have coffee, could you motivate yourself sometimes to do all those obligations, to do the work that you have to do, to be aware and stay conscious and stay present? Through a workshop with dense information like this one. All right, so we do suggest that as far as the immune system is concerned, as far as the hormonal system is concerned, as far as the nervous system is concerned, we highly recommend that you plan on, as we were saying to Sharon yesterday, plan on doing something. If you're a creative person, plan on doing something that you love to do early in the day. You won't mind getting up if you can do something you really want to do. Because actually, if your body could do what it wanted to do, it could create in the morning just as easily as at night. You just shift the program, the consensus program, that you've got to work in the morning and do things you don't want to do and make yourself go to work. Make yourself do this, make yourself do that. Even if you love your work, if you make yourself do that, you get tired of it after a while. Right? So do something that gives you joy. Until at some point in your life, you get rid of all the things you don't enjoy until you're only doing things you do enjoy. So that can be the way. How much more time do we have on this?
You're already 30 minutes over.
All right, we know this is a long one. We've got a lot to cover.
All right. Take a little break and continue.
All right, we'll take a short break. All right, we'll take a short break. Let's just take 10 minutes because we'll have a longer break later. All right, we'll take a short break about 10 minutes. And then we'll come and finish with the lymph system, and then we have other juicy stuff. And then we can go to the questions and answers. All right, farewell.